We also seen an increase in our companies in Kenya, and we hope that the existence of the new treaty will promote South Africa as an ideal regional jurisdiction in Africa. Moving to the investment flows. Investments by Kenya into South Africa were $204 million in 2006, $969 million in 2007, $1.3 billion in 2008, and $1.1 billion in 2009. Investments by South Africa into Kenya were $1.6 billion in 2006, $987 million in 2007, $1.6 billion in 2008, and they moved up to $2.1 billion in 2009. That concludes my presentation, Chair. Thank you very much.
That's the whole presentation?
Yes, Chair, that's the end of my presentation on the chip.
Mr. van der Merwe?
Thank you, Chair. How would you like me to do this? I want to do just a technical explanation on some of the issues on both treaties. Do you want me to do one first and stop and then take questions, or?
Van der Merwe, with the most effective way.
Okay. Shall I do the protocol with the U.K. first and then stop and allow?
One more.
Two more.
Two more. Can't get it over.
Got it. Thank you, Chair. Right. As my colleague from Treasury has said, Chair, this protocol firstly became necessary because we wanted to address the issue of the dividend withholding tax, which is taking the place of secondary tax on companies as of next year. This is just a protocol to the main agreement and changes certain areas which we felt needed amendment or modernization. So the article dealing with dividends has been now replaced, and in practice, withholding taxes vary widely internationally in these agreements. However, the dividend rate in the South Africa-UK protocol is 5% where the shareholding in the domestic company is at least 10%, 15% for qualifying dividends paid by property investment companies, and 10% on all others. That's portfolio investments. Just to note in this regard, Chair, this property investment company is not a South African vehicle. It's a UK investment vehicle, and that particular 15% is of application only in the UK because it's their specific domestic law issue. So from a South African point of view, we're using the normal approach that we have, which is 5% with a 10% shareholding and 10% for portfolio. We then also updated the Exchange of Information article, Chair. Exchange of Information has been the subject of much international work in the last 2 to 3 years, and the OECD has got a global forum on the go and also updated their model in relation to exchange of information between tax authorities to increase transparency in relation to taxpayers. South Africa, of course, has been very much a supporter of that move of exchange of information between tax authorities and increased transparency in that regard. Now, the new model, Article 25, Exchange of Information article, has two main thrusts, and that is that it ensures that bank secrecy or the absence of a domestic tax interest can no longer be used to deny a request for exchange of information. Bank secrecy, of course, that's evident. But a domestic tax interest briefly just means if I had to ask the UK for assistance in, say, an investigation that SARS was carrying out in South Africa, under the old rules, the UK would have said, well, we don't have a domestic tax interest, therefore I'm not going to get this information for you. The new article ensures that they would be required to get this information for us, even though they had no domestic tax interest. And that, of course, was a real issue under the old UK treaty. The new Article 25A in the protocol deals with assistance in the collection of taxes. Under this article, the two states are empowered to collect taxes on behalf of each other. It's on a basis of reciprocity. Mm-hmm. What I need to highlight in relation to this article is simply that this collection on behalf of another state can only be done once the assessment is final. There's no more room for challenges in court. It's been through a court procedure where necessary. It's a final assessment. We can then ask for assistance in collecting taxes, and of course this is on the basis of reciprocity, so the UK can ask us equally. Those are the issues in the UK protocol, Chair. So I would then move to the South Africa-Kenya double taxation agreement. As my colleague Lutondo has pointed out, this is a new treaty and it's really important to us. And South Africa has been trying for a number of years to get Kenya to the negotiating table to try and get this into place. So, without further ado then, the articles of interest in this South Africa-Kenya double taxation agreement are as follows. The majority of articles are absolute standard from the international model in accordance with South Africa's approach, so I just highlight certain issues in this treaty with your permission, Chair. Article 5, permanent establishment. A permanent establishment is defined in Article 5, and in relation to business profits, we say that a resident of one state doing business in the other state cannot be taxed in the other state unless he has a permanent establishment there, which is, in broad terms, a place of business, a fixed place of business. Now, in relation to construction, we put a time on that as well. The OECD model considers 12 months before a permanent establishment exists. The United Nations model, however, looks at 6 months. In the South Africa-Kenya DTA, a building site, construction, assembly or installation project or any supervisory activity in connection therewith will only be a permanent establishment if it lasts more than 6 months. Secondly, the furnishing of services, including consultancy services, by an enterprise through employees or other personnel engaged by the enterprise for such purpose, that also has to have a physical presence of those employees in the other state for more than 183 days in any 12-month period. That particular provision, Chair, is very important in our treaties because I think it's evident that in today's world it becomes easier for individuals or even companies such as consulting companies to do business without having a formal office. And often that's just the presence of their employees, so that enables us to tax immediately that threshold of 183 days has passed. In addition, under Article 14, we deal with independent personal services, and that would relate then to people like lawyers and doctors and engineers, etc. Independent professional people, if I could call it that. And there we have virtually the same kind of rules, in that we say you have to have a fixed base in the country you're visiting, and a fixed base is an equivalent to permanent establishment, or else, because it's individuals, a physical presence test of 183 days in any 12-month period. So there's a similar approach between business profits, if you could call it that, and independent personal services. Also in Article 5, in this treaty, delivery is excluded from the auxiliary or preparatory activities envisaged in both paragraphs 4 and 5. A little explanation there. What we do say in these treaties is you might have a permanent establishment, a place of business in the other country, but if what you're doing in that place of business is just auxiliary or preparatory, then it's regarded not to be a permanent establishment. And the rationale behind that is simply that if the activities in that permanent establishment are such that they don't generate profit, then there's no point in trying to tax it. It becomes a futile exercise. Normally, delivery is regarded to be auxiliary activity. However, the UN approach to this is that delivery is a more important part and should not be regarded as auxiliary. So in the Kenya-South Africa Treaty, we followed the UN approach by excluding delivery as auxiliary. Also on permanent establishment, paragraph 6, an insurance enterprise of a contracting state shall, except in regard to reinsurance, be deemed to have a PE, sorry, permanent establishment, in the other contracting state if it collects premiums in the territory of that other state or insures risk situated therein. And that has to be done through an employee or through a person who is a dependent agent. Article 8, dealing with shipping and air transport. The normal rule with regard to shipping and air transport is that it should be taxable only in the state of residence of the country operating that ship or aircraft in international traffic. However, in relation to the Kenya-South Africa Treaty, source taxation is allowed in respect of shipping. So if a ship calls into a Kenyan port or vice versa into a South African port and loads cargo or passengers in the South African port, in other words, the sources here in South Africa, then taxation is allowed in that source state. However, in terms of the treaty, the tax is reduced by 50%. Paragraph 3, with regard to air, it's the normal rule, resident state only. Paragraph 3 says, profits from the operation of ships and aircraft in international traffic shall include profits derived from the rental on a bareboat basis of ships or aircraft used in international traffic. That's just a technical issue, and in line with the normal interpretation. Turning then to the articles dealing with passive income, Chair, and this is where we say to the source state, there's a limit on the amount of withholding tax you can impose in your state. And this is there and designed to make investment in the two states on a reciprocal basis more attractive. With regard to Article 10 on dividends, in the South Africa-Kenya DTA, the withholding tax in the source state is 10% in respect of all dividends. With regard to interest, Article 11, the interest rate in the South Africa-Kenya DTA is 10% in all cases. And the same would apply in relation to Article 12 on royalties. The royalty rate in the source state is limited to 10% in respect of all cases. The next one I want to deal with, Chair, is Article 18, pensions and annuities. Here we deal in one of the paragraphs with payments under a social security system. And all we're saying here is that the state which pays any kind of grant or pension under a social security system should have the exclusive right to tax it. It's the state paying that amount. It's their social security system, and therefore it's considered correct that it should be taxable only in that state which pays. Article 20 deals with professors, teachers and researchers, and the idea behind the article is simply to try and encourage movement between states of professors, teachers and researchers. And what we say in relation to them is that where they visit a particular state, let's say a South African professor is visiting Kenya would say, you're exempt from tax in Kenya while you're visiting me, provided the visit is less than 2 years and the remuneration comes from outside Kenya. And of course, it would work on a bilateral basis with reciprocity, that would apply equally to a Kenyan professor coming to South Africa. He wouldn't pay tax here, provided the remuneration is not paid from South Africa. It should be from outside South Africa. Those provisions will not apply if the research is for the private benefit of any specific person. Article 27, and that's the last one I'm going to deal with. Article 26, in any case, is the exchange of information article, which is the updated version. Article 27 then also allows assistance in the collection of taxes on the basis of reciprocity between the two states. Chair, those are the most important points. I just wanted to say something in relation to exchange of information in general terms. We would be hoping later in the year, Chair, to be ratifying a number of tax information exchange agreements, which we've negotiated with jurisdictions like Guernsey and San Marino and Jersey, etc., which allows for exchange of information for South Africa from these jurisdictions for the first time ever. We're now beginning to get them signed. In the last month, we've had Guernsey, San Marino, and Jersey signed, and there's a number in the pipeline, Cayman Islands, Bermuda, and a couple of others that I can't think of now. So this is going to be an issue which we hope to return for a full ratification during the course of this year, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you to Mr. Nanarda and Mr. Mbolo for your presentation. This is crucial because it forms the basis of sound international economic relations and trade agreements. Honourable members also received a written apology from Honourable Mabusisi attending the Joint Committee on Intelligence. Questions? Any questions you want to put to the presenters? Bella, Charlie, you may proceed with your questions.
Thank you. I would like to understand more that in connection with the reduced taxation by 50%. What is the reason of reducing it by 50%? And then the issue when the taxation of professors, teachers, and researchers, it won't encourage the evasion of taxation, because one can say, okay, I'll get my payment from outside. As long as I'm staying, you said, is it less than 2 years, something like that? Yeah, less than 2 years. I can just plan a scheme that now, if always I get my salary from outside or permit or any other resources in order to evade taxes, how can we avoid such type of practice? Thank you.
No, thanks, Chair. I think I'm clear on the two agreements. My question relates now, Mr. Fanaman, to the agreement that we ratified last year. I just want to find out if all those that we have ratified last year, they have also been ratified by those countries that entered into us.
May I respond, Mr. Fanaman?
In relation to the last question, Chair, to the best of my knowledge, I don't think there are any ratifications outstanding in relation to what went through last year, but I think I must be getting old. I can't remember exactly all the ones that went through last year, but I think the majority of them have also been ratified in the other country and therefore would be operational by now. But I couldn't swear to that 100%.
If I may come in, Chair, Ireland has ratified. They've notified us. We followed up with Sweden, and they said they will be ratifying during the. Oh, they've ratified as well.
And Mexico.
Sweden and Ireland.
And Mexico.
Mexico is in operation as far as I know.
Yeah.
If necessary, we can provide a list on that. I'm just not 100% certain. With regard to the first question, in most cases when we deal with international transport, source taxation is not an issue because tax on shipping and air transport is imposed only in the state of residence. Therefore, what we have here in the treaty between South Africa and Kenya is a little bit of a compromise because they wanted source taxation of shipping. This is not strictly in line with South Africa's approach in negotiations. So to try and make it better for our shipping companies who would then be subjected to tax on a source basis in Kenya, it's more from South Africa to Kenya than the other way around. We asked them then to consider reducing in effect their tax by 50% to make it more lucrative or attractive for South African shipping companies. The second question with regard to professors is an interesting question. And it's for that reason that the article says this kind of exemption only applies for a two-year contract. Not the first 2 years of a contract, but a contract which in fact lasts, or visit which lasts less than 2 years. And the important thing is we're saying that the payment of that salary must be from outside the state being visited. Therefore, there's no drain or no deduction given in relation to that salary in the source state. What it does do is, for argument's sake, if it was a South African professor who was going to a university in Nairobi for 18 months, let's say, to lecture or whatever professors do, teach, he would still be a resident of South Africa for tax purposes. So we would continue to tax him. And that's the principle behind it, that the state of residence still has a taxing right on the professor. So it's not a case of no tax. It's just that the visiting state, the visited state, may not tax.
The members, are you covered? Also, welcome Honorable Bloom.
Thank you very much, Chair.
Very interesting subject.
I must apologize, yes. I'm in South Africa and I hear about Kenya now. Thank you very much.
I must say, we visited Kenya in the end of November as part of a study tour program, and they are very, very strong in agriculture.
Yeah.
I would like to go back and see how they manage their cooperatives. That's one of their strong points in agriculture. 78% of their labor force is in agriculture. It's something to learn. Honourable members, we're not on agriculture now. We received the presentations. I was informed that both committees, the protocols have been referred to the Select Committee on Finance as well as on appropriations. Do I understand it correctly? This is the first time it's done in that way. So I'm going to put to you the protocols referred to the Select Committee for Finance, and then I will hand over to Uncle Chani to do the rest. Let's take the one in the United Kingdom. I'm going to read it out for record purposes. Report of the Select Committee on Finance on the protocol between the Republic of South Africa and the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland, dated 9th of March 2011. The Select Committee on Finance, having considered the request for approval by Parliament of the protocol between the Government of the Republic of South Africa and the Government of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland to amend the Convention for the avoidance of double taxation and the prevention of fiscal evasion with respect to taxes on income and on capital gains, recommends that the House, in terms of Section 2312 of the Constitution, approve the said protocol. I put this to the committee. Approved. Thank you.
Okay.
The same goes to the Republic of Kenya. The Select Committee on Finance, having considered the request for the approval by Parliament of the agreement between the Government of the Republic of South Africa and the Government of the Republic of Kenya for the avoidance of double taxation and the prevention of fiscal evasion with respect to taxes on income, recommends that the House, in terms of Section 2312 of the Constitution, approve the said agreement. I put it to the committee. Approved.
Yes.
Thank you, Honourable Members. I hand over to Honourable Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Honourable Members, the report I see is that read in finance, so I'll just put it before you for approval.
I move that we are approved.
Thank you.
Yes.
Well, members, that concludes this session of the program. I'm handing over to Honorable Chani to do the appropriations. You are released. Thank you for coming. Yeah.
Thank you, Chair.
You're always welcome.
Thank you, Matthew.
We could have blocked it. We are three against two. We must have. We're three against two. We are the majority. But it's our comrade. No, it's fine.
For now, it's fine. This is the one community where we don't fight.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. All agree on the money.
No, thank you very much, Honourable Members. Without waste of time, we decided to convene a short meeting for Appropriations Committee just to adopt the report on the hospital revitalization plans arising out of the public hearings we held towards the end of last year. So this is the only report that represents the work we did last year, and the report was circulated to all members, I think, twice, make input and corrections, and those who submitted their input and corrections, they have been included in this report. So this is a final report for adoption. I would like to push before yourself, Honourable Members. I'll do it the usual way. I'll go page by page, or if members are satisfied that the report is a thorough reflection of what transpired, we can adopt it as is. But let me go page by page. Page 1. Page 2.
I'm not sure whether the report I'm having is the same as the one that I'm having, because right at the top there is a missing date. Right at the top. I'm just saying that it's not really the report for us. I thought this particular page, but we have the date to be corrected.
Can you put today's date?
Okay.
Page 2.
10:3. Can we move for adoption of the report with those amendments or corrections? Now with the PR move and Honorable Shule or Honorable Makubela support. Our members, that brings us to the end of today's business and this meeting stands at the end.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I like the muscle.